You're well aware that things are different up here this morning. I hope I don't distract you too much. This is getting ready for tomorrow's vacation Bible school next week, so all these things are about that week. We'll talk more. We'll look forward to that. Here's some more information about it starting tomorrow, but thank you. Today, if you find your outline, your bulletin, and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, we will continue thinking together about the Scripture and what God says to us in Ephesians. I find as I read through this book again, there are many things in it that I find I'm glad to review, and then I discover there's a whole lot more in it than there is than we may have thought. It's hard to go through it very fast. So today I'm only going to look at about three verses out of this chapter, and actually part. part of three. Ephesians 3. You get habits of that. Those of you don't know, I'm from Kentucky. That's where moonshine comes in. So, let me read Ephesians 3, starting verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. A lot in those few verses. In fact, I want to deal with the first part of those verses. So as you think about living in God's strength, he prayed in this prayer that they'd be strengthened with power. I discover I need that strength. I need God's strength every day. Sometimes we feel we're self-sufficient, but we're really not. Because any moment of any day, this heart can stop. Any moment of any day, these lungs can no longer function. I need him. Not only that, but I need his wisdom and all the other things that go with that. So I need his strength. So let's read this passage of Scripture and think about some ways of living in God's strength, some of the aspects of that as we walk together. I'm glad to know that we have the Lord with us, and he helps us to live out the Christian life. I've commented a number of times and probably will again. I'm grateful that when Jesus saved us, he didn't say, "I've saved you, now you go live it out." I'm glad he said, "I saved you, and I'm going to help you live out what I've saved you for." And he doesn't leave us to live that out by ourselves. It's saved by grace, kept by grace, grace all the way through. And I'm grateful for that. So the first aspect of this is living in God's strength. It's live in God's strength by bowing before him. Living in God's strength by bowing before him. He said in verse 14, for this reason, he talked about the relationship in Christ and their hope in him. But he said, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I want to think about that. I bow my knees. What does bowing mean? Why do I do that? What's brought to our mind as we think about the concept of bowing before somebody? There are many things that may come to our mind. But I think of when I bow, I'm recognizing somebody's bigger than I am, more honorable, more important than I am. It means I acknowledge that I'm not as important, or perhaps, maybe that isn't the right word, but I'm not equal to the person I bowed before. And so he begins this passage by saying, I bow my knees before the Father. Why is that important in gaining strength? Why is it important that we learn to bow our knees? And when I talk about bowing our knees, it's more than physical bowing. It's the attitude of the heart. It's the attitude of the Spirit. Why do I do that? Because I recognize I need everything he's got. And I need Him in my life. And I bow before Him to recognize His greatness. The scripture passage on your note says, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because of who Christ is, because we acknowledge how wonderful He is, what He has done. This scripture passage says, because He died on the cross, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, chose to do that. Because of that, God has exalted Him, lifted Him up above every name and deserved name. You need to recognize that all knees are going to bow before Him sooner or later. The scripture says that because of who Jesus is, every knee is going to bow. Does that really literally mean every knee, or is that just a figure of speech? You mean there's going to be a time when every human being who's ever lived from Adam to whenever this world ends, that whole group of people that have been living on this universe are going to bow before Jesus? Every one of them? That's what it says. Every knee is going to bow. So what I'm saying is, I want to bow my knee now, so when I do it then, I've already done it once. Now think about it. Of all those knees are going to bow when He comes and rules and reigns and brings everything to a close. Some of them are going to bow because they have to bow, not because they chose to bow. And they're going to acknowledge the Lord, but it's too late to be saved. So I want to bow my knee, my heart before the Lord today, because when I bow before Him, I can receive from Him who He is and what He is and receive His strength in my life. See, when I bow, I'm admitting I need some help. I'm acknowledging, Lord, I need You in my life. And I'm coming to You and saying, I surrender to You. I confess You as Lord of my life. Not only, He's going to be Lord anyway. He is Lord, right? But I want Him to be Lord right here. Can He be Lord out here and not Lord in here? So I'm saying, God, help me to learn to yield my life to the Lordship of Christ all the time. Now, when we think about yielding to the bowing before Him, yielding our life before Him, I believe that's an ongoing process of continuing to yield day after day, moment by moment. When I think about bowing before Him, we recognize how wonderful He is. There are many examples in the Scripture, but I thought of two. When you read the Bible, there's a man named Paul going down a road one day, and the Spirit of the Lord came before him in a light. And what does Paul do? What's his reaction when he sees God? He's on his face. He's yielding. He's bowing. In the Scriptures, in the book of Revelation, a man named John sees the holiness of God and the majesty of Jesus. And what does John do? He's on his face. He's bowing before the glory and the majesty of God, so great, so powerful, that he's acknowledging God as he bows before Him. And so what I'm suggesting is, Lord, I want to learn to bow before You now so that I can get in on what You have for me because I've yielded to You. It's kind of hard to get in on what God has if I don't yield to Him and let Him do in me what He wants to do. And He's only going to do it when I yield to Him, when I cooperate and yield to Him. So He said, bow the knee, or bow the heart, bow the life before the Lord, so that we know He can work through us. A couple named Tom and Mabel Willie went to Panama to serve as missionaries. They moved into a little hut, a mud hut with a thatched roof and a dirt floor. Tom was out visiting and among the natives of that country, visiting all the Indians, but Mabel stayed home all the time, pretty well by herself. She had some children there that she took care of. She also was sort of the object of attention because she was different than the rest of the people, and they were always curious about her, and she kind of felt on the spot. But not only that, when the children came in from playing outside, they came in covered with these little brown insects that Mabel had to take off of them with a great deal of difficulty and a lot of tears and a lot of kerosene, or coal oil, if you know it better as that. After a while, one evening, after the children were in bed, Mabel was overcome with emotion. She ran outside and sat down on an old stump, and she began to complain to the Lord. Lord, all I ever wanted was a beautiful home. Is this my beautiful home? This mud hut with a thatched roof and creatures falling from the ceiling? And what about my children? Can I bear this? She kneeled by the stump as she thought about all that, continued weeping and praying. Suddenly the Lord seemed to speak to her. He asked, "Can you not live in this mud hut for me? Remember what I've done for you." Mabel's heart was touched, and she remembered the many blessings and gifts that God had already given her in her life. She said, "Yes, Lord, I can live in this mud hut. I can give my desire for a beautiful home to you. I give my children, my family, my husband, all of it to you. Do whatever you want with me." Here's what she later recalled. She said, "Suddenly peace surrounded me. I rose from my knees, and the mud hut might have been a mansion, since my Lord had placed me there. It looked altogether different in my eyes. I saw what could be done to make this a home." But it came when she bowed her knee. Whatever our circumstances, the victory comes when I bow my knee before the Lord and say, "Lord, it's yours. I give it to you." Second area on your notes is live in God's strength, found in the riches of His glory. He asked that God would grant them according to the riches of His glory. When you think about that, how rich is God? When you try to measure the greatness of God and how all that He has, is there a measure that will equal to it? I don't think so. So he said, he's praying that out of the riches of the glory of God, He would grant these things. I'm grateful to know today that in the Lord Jesus, what He's got, He wants to share. All the riches that He has, He wants to give away. Now, when we talk about His riches, He does provide materially food and clothes and money and all those things. But He also provides grace and love and mercy and understanding and insights of the Scriptures. And those are riches far greater than any money you can put together or any house you can live in. The riches that come from His glory, seeing Him. What do you think it was like for John to see Jesus on the Isle of Patmos? What kind of riches do you suppose he got out of that? He wouldn't take anything for that. Or Paul, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, did he come away a rich man? A man full of faith, of hope, and love, and the blessings of God. He came away a rich man. The scripture passage says, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who's speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving in the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The strength that God supplies. I'm convinced that God will supply every bit of the strength I need in every situation. However, He doesn't always give that to me until I need it. I would like to think already ahead of time, I know exactly what He's going to do and how He's going to do it. He didn't promise that. But in the midst of the situation which I deal with and which you deal with, out of the riches of His glory, He will provide the strength that I need at that moment when I need it. And I can trust Him to do that. We want to sometimes as human beings know exactly how He's going to do it and when He's going to do it and all that. He didn't promise that. But out of the riches of His glory, there is the strength that God supplies, and He will be there 100% of the time to help us deal with whatever we're dealing with because of who He is. The riches of Christ, the glory provided in His glory, the riches. God has so much more He wants to give us. Here's my thinking. God has more He wants to pour out on us than we're ready to receive. That we need to be in a position to receive. I believe, as I read Scripture, God is not going to pour out His goodness on people who don't or aren't ready to receive it or are going to dishonor it. The Bible says in one passage of Scripture, don't cast your pearls before hogs or swine. I don't think God does either. When I yield my heart, I do the first thing. I bow my knee before Him and I get ready and I try to stay in tune with what he wants, then I'm in a position for Him to pour out those blessings. I believe those two men I talked about, Paul and John, were in a place God could speak to them. They could hear Him. And others in the Bible and others you know about. So I want to live in the riches of His glory, be in a position to receive them because I know I need it and I trust Him to work in me. So I want to live in the strength, in the riches of His glory. My conviction is that the riches of glory of God's grace are so great that from a human standpoint, if God ever revealed them to us, we would literally explode mentally. We couldn't handle it. The magnificence of God, the glory of God is so beyond us. So we got a lot to look forward to when we get a glorified body. Then we can handle it. And he'll show us those new things. If you think God's good now and all His creation is wonderful and all the stuff, just think about what it's going to be like when we get this resurrected body and a new life and a new spirit and God opens it up, really. I mean, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? The riches of the glory of Christ, all available to us in Jesus. The third area is live in God's strength through His Spirit. He talked about His Spirit. We strengthen with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Through His Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. As I mentioned earlier, the good news is when we become a believer, God comes to live within us as in the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't always know how to yield to Him, but I understand from Scripture that when I became a believer in Jesus, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, came to live right here in my life. And He'll be there forever. Now, this body is going to change, I understand that, but my spirit is going to live forever with the Lord. That Holy Spirit of God is available to each one who knows Him as Savior. Not available to unbelievers, but He is available to everyone who knows Him. And so I'm praying. I want to learn to live in the strength of His Spirit. Not what I can figure out, but what He can do. My conviction is I need to ask God, how do you want to do things? And what do you want to do and trust Him to do it rather than limit it to what I think I can do? Because what I can do is so small compared to what He can do by the power of His Spirit. Have you ever seen Holy Spirit at work? You ever seen Him change a life? You ever change Him, empower somebody? He does. The first scripture that I've listed on your notes is, for this reason, also, since the day we heard of it and not... We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthens all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. He said, we ask you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit of God to give you insight and understanding of what to do? Not only does He open the Scriptures to us, but He guides us day by day. You ever decide to do something and all of a sudden somehow something comes in your mind and says, wait a minute, I don't think I ought to go there or do that. Where did that come from? That's God's Holy Spirit saying, no, don't go there. Holy Spirit saying, go here, do this. And there's, how powerful is the Holy Spirit anyway? By the way, did Jesus need the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit came and ministered to Jesus. On the cross, or after the cross, other places. after his temptation in the wilderness, what did it say? Who comes to minister to Jesus? Holy Spirit. If he needed him, guess what? I need him too. But the good news is he's in us and his power is in us. So there will be strength and power according to his glorious might to gain steadfastness and patience. Thank you, Lord. On the other side of your notes is another scripture related to this. It says, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If you're a child of God, what does he say? If the Spirit of God lives in you, you have the power of God and the victory of God in your life. He will help you. My problem is it's not getting more of the Holy Spirit. How much of the Holy Spirit came into you when you became a believer? Did you get Ivory Soap? Some of you don't know what Ivory Soap number is. Ivory Soap is 99.44% pure. That tells you how old I am. How much of Jesus do you get? 100%. So the 100% of the power of Christ is available to us when we learn to yield to him. Not a partial, but all of him. Not he comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he said. If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We have hope, we have help from the power of God through the Holy Spirit of God in us to guide us and listen. Our problem is learning to listen to him. At least I think it's part of our problem. Sometimes I'm hard-headed. Don't ask my wife, she'll explain to you. No. But I need to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. I listen as I read the Word. I listen as I learn to trust him in everything within me. But the power of the Holy Spirit, he's available to every believer. We just need to learn to trust him, rely on him, and call on him. The next area is, it's connected to that, living God's strength within me. He said, through the power of his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man, or inside us, who we are. Which is more important, what I do out here or what's inside? Which has a greater effect on my life? The stuff I do here or the things I do in here? This in here affects out here. If the inner person is walking with Jesus, my heart, my mind, my soul is yielded to Jesus, I'm trying to serve Jesus, then these things out here will work a whole lot better. And I will walk a whole lot straighter because in here. If I'm having trouble out here, it's not the problem out here, it's in here. If I'm having trouble trying to be right or whatever, godly, it's not because I'm not doing it, it's because something's wrong in my spirit. Something's wrong in the inner man, in the inner person. Because if the power, well not if, since the power of the Holy Spirit and all of Jesus lives in me, then he's available, and I'm not drawing on him if I'm not living it out. I'm not letting him do through me. So there's some things that need to be changed in my life. So, I need to trust him in the inner person. Which one is God looking at more? Out here or inside? Inside. I think the scripture says, something about man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? On the heart. I think he said that in the Old Testament. God looking on what's going on here. Does he see me clearly? Is there any secrets between God and seeing me? Does he really have a clear picture of who I am inside? Yeah. So does he know how to tell me how to live? Does he know how to act? Yeah, he does. Within me, this power of the living God. So, since I want to live in the strength of Christ power of the Spirit within me, in the inner man, I want to be feeding the inner man. We feed this body. And I'm not going there. But we need it. We have to eat it. We have to have, there has to be some nourishment for this body. But the soul, the spirit within us, does it need any nourishment too? Or does it, if we don't feed it, does it shrivel? And we don't really. So I need to be eating this word. I need to be feeding this inner side of me with the scriptures. Some of us read it through year by year. Some of us read books at a time. I don't care how you do it. You need to be in the Word every day. If you're going to have a strength of life and you're going to be able to live in the power of God's strength, I need to feed this inner man in the Word. Some of us, some of you and some of us, get up every morning and every morning you take out your Bible and you read a scripture. Or you may use a devotional book. You may use Open Windows or Daily Bread or Utmost or as high as to Jesus. I don't know what you use. But you take some time to take in the Word. Does that have any bearing on the rest of your day? So if I'm to have spiritual strength, I need to be feeding on the Word. Now, I'm convinced it's not as important to read a whole lot of it as it is to listen to some of it and say, God, help me think about one aspect of this truth that you're showing me today. And begin to live that out and ask God to put that into my life. Because when I feed the inner person, I not only read the Word, but I say, God, help me to do the Word. That's critical. I want to read it, yes. I want to put it in my mind, yes. But I want to say, God, help me to find a way to implement, to do something about what you just showed me. Because I believe that when God shows me something, He shows it because He wants me to live it and then maybe share it later. But He wants me to be living it. So I say, if you're going to feed the inner person, you're going to be in the strength of God. This inner man needs to be fed all the time with the Word. Now, whether you do it every morning, whether you do it every night, whether you do it in the middle of the day, I'm not trying to say when, but you need the Word in your spirit. Maybe you do it at night and go to bed having thought about Scriptures, and that's a good thing too, because when you read the Scriptures or you think about the Lord and you study and you go to bed at night, it may help you wake up in the morning with a different spirit because you had the Word. I don't care. I'm saying is I need to be feeding this inner person on the Word. I need to be on my knees praying. Now, I recognize prayer doesn't have to be on your knees, but that's a good way to do it. Because there are passages in Scripture where the people stand, people fall on their face and pray. People stand with their hands up and pray. The key issue is I'm talking to God. Now, when I pray and I'm going to feed my soul, the key issue is not telling God what I want. But I pray and say, God, show me what you want. Help me to adjust my life in harmony with you. Help me to take the scripture that you showed me today and put it into my life. Lord, I need you. I want to be obedient to you. Change me, shape me, mold me. And as you pray, this inner person begins to be changed by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit. And you feed this inner person. I need that. I need music that honors Jesus. I want to feed this soul. How many of you, well, I guess everybody does. Do you ever go along, all of a sudden a song just starts, is going through your mind, you know. What kind of songs are going through your mind? The ones you've been listening to. Now, if those songs honor Jesus, what's going through my mind's what? It's going to honor Jesus. If those songs honor the flesh and my whatever, my humanity, what's going to go through my mind? I need to be listening to music that honors Jesus. I'm not trying to tell you which style of music. That isn't the issue. All of us have kinds of music we like. But I need to ask, is this music honoring Jesus? Is this music causing me to think about Jesus? Is this music uplifting my spirit and godliness and holiness in the right things, or is it putting me down? And so you want to feed with the music. I need to worship. Today I hope you're feeding your soul right now. As you come together, we sing, we worship together. We hear the Word, we pray. Because that's going to feed my spirit. I like to think worship is a way of recharging my battery so I can go another week because God's Spirit has touched me and I've been able to worship. Now that's not the only time to worship. We need all of it. But I want to feed this inner man.
So he said, he prays it through the Spirit in the inner man. Aren't you glad you have Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad he can feed the Spirit through through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through those various things, this inner person, because that makes me stronger in the Lord. The last thing on your notes, live in God's strength through faith in Christ who lives in me. Live in God's strength through faith in Christ who lives in me. Verse 17 said, he prayed that through the Spirit inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. The verse says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Have I been crucified? Have you asked Jesus to put self to death? Because you can't put yourself to death. Now, we can commit suicide physically, I know that. But spiritually, you can't do it. Yes, that's Jesus to put self to death. Be crucified with Christ. And he said, since that happens, when I yield to him, he said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Am I living that way? I have to ask myself, who knows whether you are or not? Just you. You and God. You and God. He said, I'm living through faith, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Now, to me, when it talks about dwelling in our heart, I know that when you become a believer, Jesus comes to live in your heart always. But the idea to me, when I think about dwelling, what does that mean? You're living with, you're relating to, you're talking to, you're yielding to, you're cooperating with the Lord Jesus through faith in him. Does he love me enough to die for me? I can trust him with every part of my life. Every part of my life. And I'm going to trust him to guide me, help me. So what I'm thinking about is I live through his strength in me. I want to give him fuller control of my life. Would you agree that there's room in your own personal journey? There's some places that you still need to yield to Christ. That you're still trying to run the show yourself. Some parts of your life. And so what I think of when I say he lives in me, I say, God, I want to surrender this part to you. I've been running the show too long, Lord. This habit, this lifestyle, this whatever it is, I want you to take hold of that. I want you to take control of that. A fuller control of me. Sometimes I'm too much the boss instead of Jesus. I don't like that. But that's the truth. So I need him to change my heart, to take over and to yield to him more fully. I think it's not only a fuller control, but it's a continuing yielding. As God shows us one thing, we yield to that one. Shows us another thing, we do that. Another thing, we do that. I'm the kind of guy, I like to do it, finish it, and get it over with. That's a male thing, probably, more so than women, but anyway. But Christian life isn't done that way. You don't get saved and get it all, and then you're final. You get saved and you got a lot of growing to do, a lot of learning to do, a lot of discovering to do, a lot of surrendering to do, a lot of walking to do, a lot of yielding to you over and over again. But praise God, he keeps on working with us. Aren't you glad he's patient with us? And then say, well, you dummy, you didn't make it that time. Forget you. Well, think about it. He could say, I've been trying to show you and you just didn't get it. So aren't you glad he didn't do that? He says, okay, let's try again. Let's try again. Let's try again. Has he done that for you? Haven't you given him more? You had some things you've been trying to have victory over and you haven't accomplished yet. Does he say, okay, you're out of here? Or does he say, okay, let's try again. Let's try. You ever had to come back to Jesus more than once to confess sin and get it right? About the same thing? Aren't you glad you can come? Yield to him. Lord, teach me. Help me to yield this to you and to continue this surrender so that I can walk with you in a better way. In the power and the strength of the Lord. Is this worth doing? Is these verses that he talked about, he prays for them, is that worthy of my saying, God, help me? to begin by bowing my life, my heart before you, and drawing on your riches, and allowing your Holy Spirit to begin to take control of me, and yielding my inner person to you and the glory of the Lord. That all begins with a faith in Jesus. You see, bowing the knee begins when we as individuals realize we're lost and can't save ourselves. And that as long as we are living life by ourselves without Jesus, we're dying and we're living life in a hopeless situation. And in reality, we're living a life that's going to be wasted. Because ultimately, if you don't know Jesus, when you die, you're going to go to a place you don't want to go. But Jesus died on the cross to save you, to change your life and your heart, to give you a new hope. All these riches are available in Him if you receive Him. If you'd open your heart to Him. My prayer is if you don't know Him, today will be the day when you say, Jesus, I heard about you, I know about you, but I want you in here. Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you save me today? I commit my life to you to begin the journey. You're not being finished. It's a journey, but you start. Now, many of us are already believers. Are there places we're holding out on God? Are there some places in my life I need to bow the knee to? Are there some places I need to surrender? Are there some places I say, God, I need your power to come and touch me right here and change me? He's available, folks. This isn't theory. This is God's word that He says, I want to do this for you if you let me. It isn't a matter of us persuading God to get ready. It's us yielding to God to do what He says in Scripture. And I want to learn to walk better in the strength that God provides and not my own. So as a Christian, are there places I need to yield? Are there places you need to yield? God knows how to tell you that, doesn't He? I don't have to tell you. He does. In fact, if I tried to list everybody, I wouldn't hit your list. But God knows. He knows what's going inside of you. Because He loves you and He's calling you to Himself. So today, would you surrender? Let's bow together. Father, I thank you that you know every heart in this room and mine too. Change me, Lord, to be more like you. Show me those places I need to yield to you. Today, yes. Yes to you. And Lord, thank you for every person in this room. You help each of us to be honest with ourselves and more than that, honest with you about what you're saying to us. And then to say yes. You know those who do not know you, who know about you but never given their heart and soul to you. I pray that today, Lord, they will do that. Lord, as you search all our hearts, help us to say yes, to deal honestly with you about our walk and our life, so we may live in your strength, in the power of your Holy Spirit, living within us. We commit these moments of decision to your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.